gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Tony, wait.
I'm going to take you home, Kate. What an hour to try to get a cab.
Tony, did Jeff give you that bruise on your cheek?
Yeah, well, that was his mistake. Taxi! Oh, darn, he's taken.
His mistake? What happened?
What do you think happened? I shoved him out of the way, that's all.
Jeff did a very kind thing tonight.
Yeah, I know.
If he hadn't helped me, I never would have finished painting that apartment.
With a bottle of wine and who knows what else. The woman next door said it was quite a party.
Oh, you don't believe her.
Taxi! Oh, here comes the cab now. Come on, Kate. Get in. You're going home.
You really blew it, Jeff, didn't you?
You think so? Look around, Trudy.
Well, you did a great job, all right.
Mm-hmm.
You and Kate.
Pretty clean place for that girl to bring a new baby, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's what Kate wanted, and what Kate wants, Kate gets, as far as I'm concerned.
Then why did you have to pick a fight with Tony Cushing?
Yeah, well, why did he have to come barging in here?
Because at 1 o'clock in the morning, he was worried.
I was here.
Well, he didn't know that. Oh, come on, Jeff. Time to go.
And leave all this good paint and stuff?
Well, we can't take it with us, not at this hour.
Sure we can. I brought it. I can take it.
Not the ladder, too.
What am I going to do? Leave it for that fell cat next door?
Oh.
Crackers.
Jeff. We'll come back for it in the morning.
Not me. When I've said goodbye to this dump, I've said goodbye. Hey, where's Kate?
She's gone.
Oh? I didn't see her.
Well, you didn't see much after you finished that bottle of wine.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to wake up everybody in the building? Or do you want to go quietly?
Trudy, did she go home with old pinstripes?
I don't know.
Trudy, does he go for that guy?
Oh, come on, Jeff. How would I know that?
You know. Women know. Like cats, they know everything. She does, doesn't she?
Okay, Jeff. You want to make a night of it among the paint cans? Go ahead. Talk. But I'm not staying around listening.
Trudy, she couldn't fall for a guy like that.
It's not my business, and it certainly isn't yours.
But it is.
What does that mean?
Kate's one of the rare ones, Trudy. She's a light on a dark road. On my road.
Don't be foolish, Jeff.
I've got to get back to the studio.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Where's my guitar? Right here. Oh!
What's the matter?
My knuckles. Look at him.
Oh, boy, you really banged him.
Hey, I'm going to make sure Kate's all right. Oh, my guitar. Don't worry, Trudy. I ride the winds of honor.
Trudy?
Oh, Tony. I thought you'd taken Kate home.
Yeah, well, I put her in a cab. She didn't seem to want my company.
Oh.
It's late. She's overtired. I'll talk to her tomorrow.
Well, what did you come back here for?
Where's your hippie friend?
Oh, he just left.
Where'd he go?
Home.
Home. That means the studio club.
Mr. Cushing, let me tell you something. You cannot fix the whole world tonight. Jeff lives at the studio club. Kate lives at the studio club. So what?
He's no kid, even if he acts like one.
He's 21. Underneath all that hair, he's a pretty sweet guy. But he's out of touch, like a lot of them. Jeff came from a well-to-do swinging family who never asked anything of him.
Okay,
well, now
okay.
I'm going to go home.
I'll drop you off.
Well, thanks.
But first, I want to see the lady next door.
At this hour?
Her light's on. She's got her door half open. She hasn't missed a thing. But $20 ought to pay her for the night's disturbance.
I don't know, Tony. Oh, boy, you sure do things different.
Thank you.
trouble, Kate. You sure keep late hours. You're getting just like the rest of them.
I wish I were. Got any coffee left?
That we never run out of.
And some scrambled eggs. And an English light, please.
Right on. Hey, what'd you do? Miss dinner?
I sort of forgot it.
Here's your coffee.
Thanks. Oh, that's good. Hazel, did you ever have a feeling that you've made a great mess of things?
I was born feeling that way, honey.
Well, you couldn't mess things up the way I have tonight.
Where do you think I got Posy? Now, I wouldn't trade that little girl for all the gold in heaven.
How is she?
Well, we're making out. Here are your eggs, Kate. And your English.
Thanks. Looks marvelous. Come on, join me with coffee.
Maybe I will. You know, this place can be really quiet. Well, what's wrong?
Oh, I tried to do something that I thought should be done, and the roof fell in. I wound up with everybody mad at me. And me mad at everybody.
Well, did you get the job done?
Yep. And I'm proud of it.
Oh, so you're home free.
Not yet, I'm not. Besides, Hazel, I don't like quarrels.
And you're telling me you're part Irish.
Oh, I get mad all right. Then I just close up. I don't fight very well.
And you gotta learn. Remember what old Harry Truman said. If you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen. And baby, this town can heat up on you. Oh, brother. Have we got company?
Oh, who?
Don't look around. Oh, he'll be right over. Has he hung one on?
Yeah. He's really wet.
Well, it's been raining for the last half hour. Didn't you notice?
Well, I've got to see him, Hazel.
Oh, let him be, honey. He'll find his way upstairs. Okay.
Jeff?
'Twas brillig on the slimy foam.
Greetings.
What happened to your hand?
Jaws.
Oh, come on, Jeff. Take that wet coat off and have some coffee. Here, we'll sit at this table.
Unhand me, lady. I am not drunk. I am not mad. I am bloody, but unbowed. When did he leave?
Who?
Old Pinstripes.
Is that what's bothering you?
No, it's not bothering me. I can face life as well as the next lemming.
You may not remember, Jeff, but the woman next door was making things a little hard because we were painting the apartment. Tony wanted me to go home before she started any real trouble.
So you went.
Jeff, I'm the one who was there from the Ross Real Estate office, not you.
You were a pure spirit, Kate. You still are, but the virus is in you.
What virus?
Success. The killer of the century. Good night, sweet maid. May flights of angels...
Jeff!
Oh.
Hazel!
Oh, yeah, I'm right here. Lord, look at that. Why, he's cut his head.
I'll take care of him. Bring me a clean cloth, will you, and some cold water?
Is he out?
No.
I am, too.
Oh. I'll bring a bucket of water.
What happened?
You know what happened. You tripped over that guitar.
Has old Pinstripes gone?
Will you stop calling him that?
I stopped him right on that beautiful profile.
Here you are, Kate.
Lie still, Jeff.
Ah, the tender hands. Ouch!
Oh, he didn't know that bad. Now, get up, Jeff, and stop being silly.
Sure. Thanks, Kate, for the first aid. It was an accident. I am not drunk. Good night. Where's my guitar?
I thought I understood that boy, Hazel, but I'm not sure.
I am. You got a problem.
Jeff is my problem?
Well, I've known him for 2 years now. And he's gone and fallen in love with you.
Don't say that, Hazel, ever. Maybe he needs me. Or needs somebody. But that isn't love. I know the difference.
Huh?
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love features Joan Loring as Kate Wakefield, Nat Poland as Anthony Cushing, Joan Shea as Trudy, and Richard Niles as Jeffrey Clark. Also appearing were Eugene Francis and Vicki Thomas. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca, written by Margaret LaWorth, and brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
This author of Vanity Fair has a confession. A writer should not fall in love with his heroine. It clouds his judgment. But I have done so. With what result? I allow Becky Sharp to do what some say she should not do. And I approve. I have done this repeatedly, and now again. Becky has gulled Captain Rawdon Crawley upon their very first accidental meeting. He believes she suffers great pain from a turned ankle, and now she rides nestled in the protecting arms of this gallant young guardsman. Observe the horse's gait. Trot, single foot, canter, gallop? Oh, certainly not. Only a fool or dolt would be in a hurry to reach the manor house.
Afraid should we go at faster pace, Miss Sharp? Your poor ankle, the pain. You don't object?
You're most kind and thoughtful, Captain. What singular good fortune you came when you did. I truly don't think I could have walked back to the hall.
Jolly good luck, yes. Jolly bad luck you fell.
I shall always think of you as...
As what?
I fear you'll think me bold.
I vow I'll not.
Even after the dreadful things I'm certain George Osborne said of me?
Yeah, the fellow's a damn blackguard. All he said is forgot. You were saying...
Oh, what was I saying?
You would always think of me as... As what?
As the shining knight who came a-riding.
Rescue maiden in distress.
And I'm forever beholden to you.
I say, shining knight, bit much that.
Oh, I knew you'd think less of me.
Hang it, no.
We shall talk of it no more, please.
Upon my honor,
please. Surely you long to know how your father is, Captain?
No.
He's quite well, and your little half-sisters are also quite well. Lady Crawley is in poor health. Should you care to know my duties here, I am not only governess, I aid Sir Pitt by writing letters about law and leases and coal mines and canals.
Look here, I...
And he is teaching me to understand the farm. Already I can tell if the turnip crop is good or bad, if the pigs are gaining weight as they should, and if the beasts thrive well on mangelwurzel.
On what?
Mangelwurzel. A new feed, a mixture of grain and mash and...
Dad, your ankle.
It's no matter. Pray, don't concern yourself. Now, what was I saying? Ah, yes, the pigs. One dreadful morning, the Wiltshire sow almost ran me down.
Damn it. How can my fool of a parent take someone like you to the pig pen?
I must learn all I can of everything, sir. I'm alone in a cold world. An orphan, making my way as best I can. One never knows what knowledge may prove useful. Even pigs. Miss Crawley said... Oh, your Aunt Matilda. Surely you wish word of her.
Yes, by Jove. How is the old girl?
I see her nearly perishing from a surfeit of Sir Pitt.
And who's to blame her?
She longs for you to arrive and break the tedium.
I say, do you like Aunt Matilda?
I believe what you mean is, does Aunt Matilda like Becky Sharp?
Of course she does.
Oh, not of course, Captain.
She don't?
I'm happy to report that she... Oh... Oh, dear.
Your ankle again. We'll turn about. Go to Mudbury. Dr. Smart.
Oh, no, no, no. Not my ankle. Your auntie. What will Miss Crawley think?
Think? Think?
When she sees me, sees us. Like this.
Oh.
Set me down at once, Captain.
Yes, I dare say, auntie, best not to. No, by Jove. The devil take auntie and the devil take the hindmost. I'll not set you down.
Ah, bravo, Captain. Tested and not found wanting. But, dear listeners, you may peer over the author's shoulder and learn, before it is spoken, that Squire Best had the shining knight set the damsel down. Calamity lurks. I shall return after I pour a glass of sherry to sustain.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Dayquil. I compared labels. Dayquil has no aspirin either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Dayquil can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Dayquil, new from Bristol-Myers.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
The long lane to the manor house must and does pass the rectory next to the church. Recall, please, ladies, that the Reverend Bute Crawley is half-brother to Sir Pitt. They were sworn enemies as boys, and matters have not improved since. Nor does Bute approve of Sir Pitt's second son. The Reverend Gentleman's Lady stands now at a front window of the rectory.
Who on earth is this? Oh, heaven help us. I can't believe my... Bute?
Yes, my dear?
Come here this minute.
What is it?
Come, hurry.
What is it? What is it? Has the goat got loose again?
Rawdon Crawley has got loose again. Look.
Oh, bless my soul.
And do you see who accompanies your nephew?
Oh, I got the specs. What is that in his... the Lord spare us. It is a female person.
It's that strumpet, Rebecca Sharp.
Martha, your language. You are married to
a clergyman
of the Church
of England, so you tell me every day of life. But I am not a clergyman, and I'll say what I will say. Need we more proof than the evidence of our eyes that Miss Sharp is a strumpet? A hussy? An abandoned creature with dreadful designs in view.
Mrs. B, I cannot permit such profane words a stone's throw from the church.
But will permit such carrying on a stone's throw from the church.
Ah, stone. Let him without sin among you cast the first stone.
Mr. Bute, are you suggesting that I, wife of a clergyman of the Church of England, ever cast...
No, Martha, no. I only meant, all things are considered...
Oh, hush, I know what you meant. You're a dear, kind man without a word to say against anyone.
Martha, do not be too sure. I have in my mouth dreadful, unkind words. Oh, I can contain them no longer. Even a clergyman must sometimes erupt.
Erupt, Bute? Do let me hear that you think Rebecca Sharp is a hussy.
No, I think Rawdon is a cad. He is responsible for that disgrace riding horseback.
That may be as may be, but Miss Governess is agreeable, and a pretty pair they make.
He's a gambler, he's a drunkard, he's a lecher, he's profligate in every way.
Go on, Your Reverence.
He's killed a man in a duel. He's head over heels in debt, and he'll rob me and mine of my sister's fortune.
He will. We must get Pitt to promise to intercede with Matilda.
Pitt will promise anything. He promised to pay my college bills when our father died and left all to the eldest son. He promised to build a new wing to the rectory, promised to give me the 6-acre meadow for me cows, and much he executed his promises. I say he is unchristian.
Oh, my dearest love, you are magnificent.
As for that man's son, Matilda will require us to receive that villain in this house. Receive a scoundrel, gambler, swindler, murderer, wenching dog.
Oh, if only you could preach like this.
No, I say. I won't have him, and that's flat.
Oh, I'm afraid you will, dear one. There is still the hope Matilda will leave us something, but no hope if we don't toady to her precious warden. You would? Was that an oath?
Oh, may heaven forgive me. What have I been saying?
I said more than your prayers, I fear. And please don't spoil it by talk of turning the other cheek, forgiving trespassers and loving our enemy.
What would the bishop say?
No doubt exactly what you've said, had he a brother and sister and nephew like yours.
Well, I am a clergyman of the church.
Don't say that. I cannot bear it.
Oh, excuse me, Martha. I must go and say my prayers.
Oh, drat. I was so carried away by his wonderful erupting. Rawdon and that hussy have ridden quite out of my sight.
Rawdon and that hussy are riding straight into... I shall tell you no more, ladies. You must return tomorrow to learn what the pretty pair are riding into, while I remain your devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
Julie, I haven't tapped it for years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hose your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
The Author's Studio has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the Comedy of Errors at the Baxter. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Thank you.
Case. I didn't even know you were home. I was over at Evie's, and when I got back, I saw your car in the drive. Where are you going?
Well, I may have to go out of town tonight on business. I'm waiting for a phone call from Pete Stewart. Get me some clean spirits.
Why do you have to go out of town tonight?
Well, we'll have to catch an early morning plane for Chicago, something like 7, so Pete and I decided we might as well drive to the airport tonight and stay there at the motel.
Can't you drive to the airport in the morning?
Takes an hour and a half, 2 hours.
It'd take 2 hours to drive to that airport.
Well, I like to allow 2 hours. Clean shirts, huh?
How many?
At least 5.
Five? How long are you going to be gone?
I don't know. We may have to stay over the weekend. Where are my clean socks?
Where they always are, in the bottom drawer. I wish you'd drive to the airport in the morning.
Honey, then I have to get up at 4 to shower and shave, grab a bite to eat, and leave here by 5 to catch the plane. In fact, I'd have to leave earlier. You're supposed to be at the airport an hour before departure time. Did my brown sports jacket come back from the cleaners?
Yes, right here. I'll find it.
Hey, now, not such a long face. I'll be back before you know it. You missing me already?
No, I'm missed.
Oh, well, I'll miss you too, sweetheart. Where's my good leather belt? Oh, here it is. Hey, come on now. Smile. You aren't going to miss me that much, are you?
I don't like staying alone in the house at night.
Oh.
Debbie left this morning with her debating team. She won't be back until Saturday.
Well, you'll be all right. Just lock the doors.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever tried to break in. Even all our neighbors up and down the road, they've never been robbed at night or had anybody try to break in.
Yes, always the first time.
Now, look. We moved out here to the country because you were scared to live in town.
I didn't move out here because I was scared.
Well, no.
You're the one who said we've got to get away and get back to nature.
Where are my brown shoes?
Getting back to nature turned out to be lawnmowers that never work. Ants and field mice in the pantry and a mountain of snow that has to be shoveled every time I want to get out in the wintertime.
Well, you're always saying you just love living out here.
Well, I do. Here are your brown shoes, but I don't like being alone in the house at night.
Well, don't think about it. You worry too much.
I hear noises in the attic. And I hear them in the basement.
Well, we hear them when I'm here, too, and they never turn out to be anything. A screen door that we didn't hook or something.
Well, when I'm alone, the noises sound louder. Different.
Oh, come on now. You'll be fine. You got the dog for protection.
No protection he is. He barks his head off and then runs to me for protection and hides behind me.
I don't know where I'll be staying in Chicago, but I'll phone you tomorrow as soon as we get there. In fact, I'll phone you in the morning before I even catch the plane to make sure you got through the night safely.
Well, don't you leave now until I get barricaded in. I want the bureau dragged over here to the bedroom door so I can
push it up. Oh, come on. There's a lock on the bedroom door.
That can be opened with a skeleton key. I want some bolts put on these.
All right, I'll call the locksmith next week.
That's what you say every week. It doesn't do me much good tonight.
Well, can't you get one of your friends to stay with you?
Well, I don't like that. I feel like such a baby. I mean, I know it's silly, but I don't like being alone in the house at night. Pine trees make such funny shadows, and when I look out, I keep thinking I see moving figures dashing around, plotting how to get in.
Now, why would anybody plot to get in? We don't have any real valuables anyhow.
Well, they don't know that. And I read that sometimes burglars get mad when you don't have any money. And then they beat you up. And I have $4 in cash, which is enough to make any burglar mad.
Now, look, my secretary lives alone all the time. Said she never worries at all. Hey, wait a minute. There's an idea. No. Call Miss Perkins.
Oh, no. I'm not going to do that. Have her drive all the way out here?
She would love it. She loves the country. She can take the day off tomorrow, and you two can just have a good time.
I got a dozen things to do tomorrow. I can't spend the day entertaining somebody. I won't get a thing done.
Look, I'm calling her. I'm not going to have you worried like this, and I don't want to worry about you either. So I'm calling Miss Perkins. You will not be alone tonight.
Here in the guest room, Miss Perkins?
Well, I certainly hope so. My goodness, it's much darker out here in the country than it is in town, and so quiet.
I know, that's why we like it.
Are you going to leave your bedroom door open?
Well, I will if you like, Miss Perkins. You're not nervous about staying here overnight, are you? I mean, I'd feel better having someone.
No. I'm not nervous at all, but of course, in town, I can see the street lights and hear the cars.
Yes, well, now, there's nothing to worry about. You're much safer in the country than you are in town.
Oh, yes, I suppose. Thank you for a lovely dinner.
Oh, it wasn't much of a spur of the minute. Now, there are clean towels in the bathroom right in here, you know, on the back of the door.
Oh, I'll be fine, just fine. You are leaving your door open.
Oh, yes. And I have a phone right by the bed. Now, speaking of a phone, Bob hasn't called. He said he would, and I got to the airport to make sure we were all right.
Mr. Baxter has a lot on his mind these days. We're quite busy at the office.
Oh, I see.
Did you lock the... door to the basement?
Yes. Don't you remember when we went around the house to check on everything, you know?
I read just recently that many burglars get in that way. People forget to lock the outside basement door.
Oh, well, now, I'll go check on it again.
Do you have an ice pick? I always put the ice pick under my pillow just in case,
Oh, yes, I do know it. Well, whenever he's away, I keep a butcher knife under my pillow. I mean, as long as the women can't have guns, which is probably fortunate, you know.
Oh, I'd be scared to have a gun.
Yes, I would, too. But we should have some means of defense, I think. You know, just in case.
Yes, just in case. That's what I said.
Yes, well, I don't have an ice pick, but I do have another butcher knife, and I'll get it for you. I'm sure we're going to be all right, Miss Perkins. But if you hear anything or you get scared, I'm just down the hall. Now, you know, and you just call me.
Yes, my, it certainly is dark in the country. Mrs. Baxter. Mrs. Baxter, wake up. Wake up.
Perkins, what is it?
There's a prowler outside. I saw him.
Prowler? Well, we've lived here for years and nobody comes around here, dear. Well,
I saw him. Don't turn on the light. Get out of bed. Well, come over here to the window. He's been walking all around the house.
Well, Miss Perkins, I know country life is different than in town, but...
There is a prowler going around this house. Call the police.
Oh, well, I just...
Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. That's the side door, just under your room. I'll call the police. Now, go look out your window, Miss Perkins. See if you can see him. And then you say to him in a loud voice, "What do you want?" You know, so he knows somebody is here. You know? And then in a loud voice, you call back, Bob, there's somebody trying to get in.
Oh, no. I always call your husband Mr. Baxter.
Miss Perkins, we may be murdered. You can refer to my husband as Bob.
Yes.
He thinks a man is here with us, you know. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now, I'll call the police. Now, go call out your window, you know. What do you want? Well, I'm sorry. Hold still. Let me keep the ice pack on your head, dear.
Oh, I'm sorry, too, Mr. Baxter. We'd no idea it was you.
You may have to have some stitches taken in this, honey, if you were going to come back from the airport because you worried about us. I mean, why didn't you phone?
I don't like liquor myself, but do you think perhaps Mr. Baxter might need something? After all, St. Bernard dogs did have brandy around their necks to rescue travelers.
Yes, fine, Miss Perkins. In the den.
I don't know one bottle from another. Will it say brandy?
Yes, it will say brandy, Miss Perkins. Are you all right, honey?
What did she hit me with? Why did she drop out the window?
Well, it was that cast iron doorstop, that big black catch, you know, that you wouldn't give up and wouldn't put in our tag sale. It was the first thing she could grab. You know, you're just lucky it merely grazed you, honey.
I could have been killed.
I know. Why didn't you phone you were coming back home?
I did phone. There was no answer. Then I got worried.
Well, with Miss Perkins here, I wasn't alone, so I wasn't worried. And when you hadn't called before I went to sleep, I just pulled the phone out.
Pete and I got to the airport, and there was a message from Chicago not to come until next week.
Oh, I see.
It says brandy.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Miss Perkins.
Yeah. I can't tell you how sorry I am. Goodness, all these years I've kept an ice pick under my pillow.
Yeah, all the years I've kept a butcher knife under there, and then nothing's happened, you know.
An ice pick?
Yeah.
A butcher knife? Why, are you two crazy? Don't you realize a burglar would know better how to handle these things than you? You'd just be handing them a weapon.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Of course, that's so true. Well, look, go to bed, Miss Perkins. I mean, he's home now. We have a man to protect us now, you know.
Good night, Mr. Baxter. Oh, my. Things are certainly different in the country.
You know something? This shows what happens to you in an emergency. I just picked up the phone and I screamed, "Call the police." The phone wasn't even connected. I was hysterical. And I've always thought of myself as being very calm in an emergency.
I could have been killed. I could have been killed.
Well, you know, honey, I told you, women don't like to be left alone at night.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now. Except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Datril. I compared labels. Datril has no aspirin either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Datril can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Datril, new from Bristol-Myers.
The Little Things in Life has been brought to you by Datril, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Final Net. Gives your hair a great, long-lasting hold.
Hello?
Lisa, where have you been?
Good. It took me longer to get the money for my bracelet. I had to go back twice.
Any trouble?
I had to produce proof of ownership. And then I tried to pick up your ticket to Chicago.
Couldn't you get it?
I needed your passport. Anyway, it's all paid for. Just stop by the ticket office with your passport.
I don't have much time to talk.
What's the matter?
Lynn's just stopped at the hotel desk to see if she had any messages.
How is it going?
Fine, except for one thing.
What?
Well, Rene Noir is hanging around. He followed us all over Zurich.
Oh. But I'm expecting him here at any moment.
He's up to something.
Look, there he is now. I'll see you later, darling. Come in, Rene.
Good morning, Madame Scott. It's a pleasure to see you again.
I had hoped to see you earlier.
I've been busy.
You're on another investigation?
No, not precisely, Madame.
How did your meeting with Herr Hoffman go?
Very well. Your friend Curtis Rogers need have no worries.
What did you tell Herr Hoffman?
As we agreed, your young friend did not have any trouble with the police in Davos. He did not desert a good friend in Davos.
Please, Rene, I know the extent of your investigation. I want to know exactly what you reported.
And I said he had a private source of income. It comes from a New York bank, probably the trustee for an inheritance.
And Hoffman found that acceptable?
Oh, indeed, yes. He was puzzled by one small matter.
What was that?
He couldn't understand why a young man with a good income was working at picking up small money as an unofficial ski instructor.
Oh. He asked that.
Fortunately, I had already another small story in my mind.
What do you mean?
This Curtis Rogers is a young man, is he not?
Yes, you've met him.
Attractive, of course.
Yes.
And, of course, interested in girls.
Yes.
So that he should be considered like any other healthy young skier, I said he gives lessons so that he could meet lots of young girls.
Oh. Now, that's not so good.
Why do you say that?
Oh, never mind.
Is it because of the young Miss Carter he has been escorting around Zurich?
Oh, you have kept yourself informed, I see.
That is my business, madame.
The investigation you were employed for is over, is it not?
Sometimes I, how do they say, freelance?
I am not surprised.
Good. You are a realist, madame.
What do you expect to do with this freelance information?
That I do not know yet. But I'm sure something will occur to me.
Dr. Carter.
Oh, hello, Dad. Well, I see you finally heard from Zurich. That's good news. Yes, I know. I know you were worried about Lynn. When's she coming back?
Well, looks as though you'll soon be meeting Kurt Rogers. Yeah, come in. Yes, all right, Dad. Yeah, come in. Yes, Dad, goodbye.
Are you ready for lunch, Jake?
In a few minutes, Angela. I'm expecting a call.
Oh, well, do you want me to wait?
No, we can talk while we're waiting.
Okay, fine.
That was Dad, with news of Lynn.
Good, I hope.
Well, I don't think we'll know that until we meet Kurt Rogers.
Oh, so Lynn is going to bring him back with her.
Or you could say they're coming back together.
Yes, you're right. Your sister has a determination under that very feminine exterior that I can't help but envy.
I didn't know you had an envious bone in your body, Angela.
Well, maybe envy's not the right word. Let's say I admire Lynn's way of going after what she wants.
Well, Dad has a different reaction to that.
Mm-hmm, but it doesn't stop Lynn. Mm.
How's the situation with you and Marsh?
A little edgy.
Mm-hmm.
I've told him I won't have lunch with him or see him alone, and he just doesn't seem to understand why.
Angela, he's a troubled man.
Yes, I know. But there isn't anything I can do about it. In fact, since his wife suspects the worst of it, my not seeing him is the best thing I could do for him, under the circumstances.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what FinalNet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. FinalNet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of FinalNet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. FinalNet. The first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that ban roll-on antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of ban roll-on, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban roll-on antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
I wonder why Ginger is so sure that Marsh is being unfaithful.
I wish I knew. I ran into her just yesterday here at the hospital.
Oh, what'd she say?
Oh, plenty. I knew Marsh was not in his office, so I went in to leave some reports on his desk, and Ginger was there.
Oh, that's what I call timing.
Yeah, she assumed I was meeting Marsh, of course, and nothing I could do or say would change her mind.
Mm. Angela, are you still determined to leave Jefferson Hospital?
Jason, I don't want to go, but when I think of all the problems my going would solve, it's a very tempting thought.
You know, Em was saying just the other night that maybe we've all leaned on you too much.
She would think that. She doesn't see what a delight your family is to me, but I get so much more than I give.
Oh, Em is typical of the happily married woman, he said modestly. She thinks all women should be married.
Well, they should if they find the right man.
And you haven't.
I did. Once.
Well, he was an idiot to let you get away.
Oh, I agree with you, but, well, he did all right.
Well, there must have been more than one possibility. There's always column B.
Well, now, column B is usually married or highly ineligible for some obvious reason.
Like Marsh?
No. No, I think Marsh is unhappy, and he seems to be trying to solve his problem in his marriage. But I think he doesn't realize that when he wants to talk to me, he should be talking to Ginger. Where is Lynn now?
At the hairdresser's. I have to pick her up in half an hour.
That doesn't give us much time.
I've missed you, Lisa.
Don't. Good. Oh. We have to talk.
It seems as though that's all we've been doing.
You were right about Rene.
What can he do?
He's like a terrier, digging and digging.
Will he go to Hoffman?
And change his story? Admit he lied? I don't think so.
Well, what can he do, then?
He knows that Lynn Carter is connected with the Mr. Carter who had you investigated.
But what can he do with that?
Well, I think he's trying to figure out just what he can do.
Would he go to Lynn, tell her?
Tell her about you and Davos?
Of course, and about you, too.
Well, dear, he'd have nothing to gain, and I don't think René Noir tips his derby hat unless he gets paid for it.
And what was the last thing he said?
After a merci, madame, for the money? Well, I think he said he might celebrate his good fortune with Bertha Schmidt.
Bertha Schmidt?
Herr Hoffman's secretary.
What does that mean?
Since she told him about Mr. Carter, I think he might now try to find out how he can find Mr. Carter.
What for?
Mr. Carter paid for information once.
But it was wrong.
Imagine what he might pay for the correct information about you.
And you thought we could count on René?
Not quite. I said we had no choice. He's done the job for us. Now we've got to keep him from undoing it.
What's going on in that Swiss movement mind of yours?
No, I don't know now, but I know I'll think of something.
You're fantastic, Lisa.
We'll see. But you'd better move fast.
Why? What should I do?
Get married to her as soon as possible.
Right now?
You said she would. And once you're married, what René Noir knows about you will mean nothing.
You're right. It will be too late.
Then if Mr. Carter learns just how terrible you are, he might pay a higher price to buy you off.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Osedar angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Osedar angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Osedar makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Osedar makes your life easier.
And to Hold features Patricia Wheel as Angela, Larry Haynes as Jason, Joyce Gorton as Emily, Robert Phelps as Kurt. Also appearing were Rosemary Rice and Rita Lloyd. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricker, written by Mary Dornheim, and brought to you by the Osedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This is Ken Roberts. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.